Well, it's a joy to be here, and I want to ask you that you open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59, please. After Brother Rick mentioned to me as I was leaving today, if I would come back and preach tonight, of course, I'm always glad to stand when the opportunity is presented. And I enjoy being in this church, in this pulpit, with your dear pastor. As he said, we become close friends, confide in each other and pray for one another, encourage one another. And that's such a blessing today in these days. But as I was thinking this afternoon, in fact, even before I got home, I began meditating, Lord, what would I bring tonight? What is it you would have these dear folks to hear and what you would have me to share? And the thought came to me as we approach the birthday of our nation. Just in a few more days, we'll be celebrating the 4th of July. And I begin to think about this country and how it has drifted so far away from God. And I want to share some thoughts with you tonight that I believe and will be a help. I trust it will be an encouragement as well as an enlightenment to you as you listen tonight. But in Isaiah 59, we begin our reading in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth judgment, justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn, soar like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them, in trespassing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. I want to use that thought in verse 14. Truth is fallen in the street. Our beloved United States of America is in a crisis today. This country is in deep trouble. And we cannot sit back any longer and wait for things to turn around. Even though some of our elected leaders seek to honor God and seem to do what is right, we are beyond the place where we can elect our way back to righteousness in America. If something dramatic does not happen to bring our great country back to God, the day will come when we will face terrorism or some other calamity more horrific than anything that we have known before. We'll fill our churches. We'll turn our eyes upward. And we'll dial heaven's 911. But the line will be dead. People will cry out, "Oh God, have mercy." Why do I say this? Why do I believe this? Well, I believe the answer is found in the verses that I read. A passage really that needs to be preached from every pulpit and shouted from every housetop. You see, Isaiah's message to a sinful nation was that God was neither handicapped nor deaf. In verse 1, he said, "His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear." So he's neither handicapped nor deaf. The problem was that the sins of the people had created a barrier between them and a holy God. I see in this passage a parallel between the people of Isaiah's day and the people of our day. I want you to notice verse 2, where Isaiah talks about the sins of the people. "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." He mentions sins in verse 3. He talks about bloody hands. "For your hands are defiled with blood." You know, America is swimming in an ocean of blood. A modern Holocaust called abortion continues to stain this nation. The blood of tens of millions of preborn babies cry out from the ground against us. Ever since 1973, when the Supreme Court decided a preborn baby could be treated as a piece of tissue and eliminated. I ask you a question. Do you suppose that there is a correlation between the fact that children and young people are being gunned down in the streets of America and even being killed by their own parents, while several thousand unborn babies are killed each day in abortuaries? I believe there's a correlation there. You see, the epidemic of murder in our land is a judgment from God for the legalized murder of abortion. And as long as we allow the blood of innocent babies to flow in private in America's abortion mills, should we be surprised at the blood that flows in the streets and in our homes? One man said that we are living in a day when 12-year-olds are having babies, 15-year-olds are killing each other, and 18-year-olds are graduating from high school with diplomas they cannot read. And that's where we are in America today, as our bloody hands betray our sins. So as Isaiah points out the sins, he talks about bloody hands. But notice in verse 3 also, he talks about lying lips. "Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." During the 1990s, we became so used to hearing lies from Washington that it seemed that though everybody was lying, and there didn't seem to be much embarrassment about it, we were witnessing a startling disregard for basic honesty, and it filtered down to the people. I say to you, my friend, truth has fallen in the streets. Earlier, if you'll turn back to Isaiah 28 just for a moment, because earlier in Isaiah's prophecy, he had delivered the Lord's word of judgment to a nation whose attitude was this. In verse 15 of Isaiah 28, the word of God says, "Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. With the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and our false and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Verse 17, "Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the Hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. So God, Isaiah had already pronounced judgment upon these people as God had instructed him to. But not only were there bloody hands that is spoken of concerning their sins, and not only do we see the lying lips, but notice also in verse 4, note their wicked hearts. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. You know, it's terribly hard to raise children today because we're living in a day of moral compromise and ethical fogginess. I feel for young parents today trying to raise their children in a godless society. God blessed us with 6 children, and thank God they're all in church. They're all in serving the Lord in some capacity. But it's very difficult to raise children today. According to a recent poll, 70% of young people between the age of 13 and 17 believe that it's all right for a couple to live together before marriage. In that same survey, this is startling, in that same survey, 50% of those young people identify themselves as church kids who said cohabitation before marriage is acceptable. God says it isn't. The Word of God forbids it. Our society says that adultery is no big deal. Everybody does it. I'm here to tell you that adultery is a violation of God's commandment, and those who practice it are going to suffer the consequences. Marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge, the Bible tells us. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. I say to you folks, something stinks in America today. But what brought about these bloody hands? Why did Isaiah mention these particular sins to the people of his day? What brought about the bloody hands and the lying lips and the wicked hearts of Isaiah's day? I believe the answer is in verse 5. We see snake eggs here. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Snake eggs. Here is a graphic picture of what is hatched in hell's incubator. These viper's eggs are devilish lies and philosophies that are being hatched in Isaiah's day, and that were being hatched in Isaiah's day, and also are being hatched in our day. They are lying, poisonous philosophies being swallowed up by adults and youth alike. You see, our nation is on a snake egg diet of deception. The incubators that hatch those eggs are materialism and humanism, new ageism, and liberalism. And the old granddaddy serpent who has spawned and fertilized these eggs is Satan himself, because he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus said, your father the devil is a liar and the father of it. And so they're being hatched by the devil. Our young people in public schools are being served a snake egg omelet every morning and are swallowing it down. In 1912, you will remember, or 1962 rather, the Supreme Court ruled that voluntary prayer in public schools was unconstitutional. They told us our children had to be in public schools, but they could not pray there. In 1963, the same court dismantled classroom Bible reading. There is no room for the Bible in our halls of education. The greatest book that's ever been written on education has no place in our schools of public education today. In 1980, the posting of the Ten Commandments in schools were declared unconstitutional. Students were plotting to bring guns to school and kill their classmates, but were not allowed to read, "Thou shalt not kill." In 1982, the courts prohibited the teaching of biblical creation in schools. In 20 years, God was expelled from our schools and told not to come back in 20 short years. I read this humorous illustration. It says a college student in a philosophy class had a discussion about God's existence. And the professor presented the following logic. Has anyone in this class heard God? No one said anything. Has anyone in this class touched God? Again, no one said anything. And has anyone in this class seen God? And again, no one said anything. When nobody spoke for the third time, the professor simply stated, "Then there is no God." One student thought for a moment, and then he asked for permission to reply. Curious to hear the bold student's response, the professor granted it, and the student stood up and asked the following questions of his classmates. Has anyone in this class heard the professor's brain? Silence. Has anyone in this class ever touched the professor's brain? Again, no one said anything. Has anyone in this class seen the professor's brain? When no one spoke, the student concluded, "Then according to our professor's logic, it must be true that our professor has no brain." Snake eggs. But then he talks about spider webs in verse 5, and they weave the spider's web. You see, spiders weave a web that is almost invisible and sticky. And the purpose is to catch the unsuspecting insect that will fly into the web and become entangled. Then the spider comes over, kills its prey with a sting, wraps the victim in more strands, and leaves it hanging there until the spider is ready to feed on it and suck it dry. What a picture of how Satan works. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of his devices. We know how he works. He has woven webs of immorality and dishonesty that are poisoning and sucking dry a generation of young people today. The devil is weaving his web of pornography. The worldwide web of online pornography is incredibly sticky. Just as a spider can snare and bag a victim within seconds, even so a fleeting first glance at pornography on the internet can snare a person. Do you think there might be a correlation between online pornography and sexual child abuse? I think there may be. But then the devil is not only weaving his web of pornography, he's weaving his web of drugs and alcohol. America is filled today with the walking dead whose lives have been sucked dry by the spiders of alcohol and drug abuse. There was a beer advertisement that said, "It doesn't get any better than this." And they're right. Because alcohol never gets any better. It continually gets worse. One man said, "The only reason that I drink is to drown my sorrows. But I found out that my sorrows know how to swim." It just doesn't solve the problem. It adds to it. But then there is the devil is weaving his web of pornography and drugs and alcohol and for immorality. Young people are being told today there are no fixed standards of right and wrong when it comes to sexual expressions. The Bible says, woe unto him that calls good evil and evil good. He pronounced judgment on those who call evil good and good evil in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. You know, in the so-called sex education classes in many of our schools, the threefold goal of those classes is to teach our children how to fornicate without guilt, without catching a disease, and without having a baby. That's the emphasis on sex education being taught in elementary schools in America today. We need to wake up. Our country is headed for trouble. But notice in verse 12 down through verse 14, I see not only the sins and the spiders. Note the word street in verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the hearts of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Why? For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. You see, we come here to the reason for the terrible situation that America is in. Truth has been dumped into the street like trash beside a curb. The picture that Isaiah paints is this. There's a traffic jam in the streets where truth is concerned. Truth, justice, and equity are trying to enter the city, but they cannot because truth has fallen in the street. All the traffic is backed up. I want to tell you today, truth is not dead. You cannot murder truth. You can kill its messengers, but truth is eternal because truth comes from God. And you cannot murder truth. But truth has been knocked down in America by doctors of philosophy who deny God. Truth has been slandered by politicians who sell their principles for public office. You know, the term separation of church and state is a perfect example of politicians ignoring truth. Separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. Neither is it in the First Amendment. The First Amendment simply states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The fact that the phrase separation of church and state appears in no founding document does not prevent many judicial and social activists from invoking that phrase as the basis for many policy decisions. Truth has been chloroformed by liberal preachers who dilute and distort the truth they try to proclaim. What America needs is a generation of preachers who will stand in their pulpit and open the book of truth and preach, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, thus saith the Lord, and preach it without fear or favor to man. I read a verse many years ago that's blessed my heart all my ministry. If I become a servant of man, I am no longer the servant of Christ. I serve him. I share what he lays on my heart. I preach to please him, not please the people. And by the way, if you're right with God, it will please you. If you're not, then that's what it's designed for, to get you right with God. You see, when we think about the crisis of morality and truth in America, most of us Well, to get there and start stamping out snake eggs and knocking down spider webs, get our place cards and marching up and down the road. The Word of God is our banner that we carry. We just proclaim truth wherever we are, wherever we can. But what we need is not the knocking down of spider webs and stamping out snake eggs. What we need is something that will slay the snake and destroy the spider. And that is truth. That's the only thing that will do it. Only truth can keep that old daddy serpent Satan from spawning more eggs. Only truth can keep the spider from weaving sticky webs. And we need to lift up the truth in America today and put her back on her feet where she belonged, at the very center of our society. Truth is fallen in the street, and as a result of it, America, our beloved America, the greatest nation on the earth, is headed for a crisis. The only thing that will set America free from the snake eggs of deception, the spider webs of wickedness, and the truth that has fallen in the street, is truth itself. Jesus very simply said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I want to say this to every mother, every dad. Teach your children to live the truth, to love the truth, to tell the truth, to know the truth, and believe the truth. Solomon said, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Truth. That old familiar verse is still applicable today. If my people, God said, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Note the next word. Then. That's a time element. God just doesn't arbitrarily do it. He says, humble yourself, pray and seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I love this nation. I love to be able to stand in pulpits like yours and preach the Word of God as it is. Just to men just as they are. Do you realize, dear ones, just north of us in Canada, the missionaries there cannot proclaim the Word of God freely as we do here in our United States. The laws are against it. They place them in jail for speaking on certain subjects. I'm talking about fundamental Bible-believing preachers that cannot preach it without fear of incarceration because of breaking the laws of that country. I'm going to ask you to stand. I want the young lady to come to the instrument, if she will. We're not having any singing, but here's what I want to do tonight. And I feel compelled to do this. I want to invite as many of our men, young and old, to come to this altar tonight and pray for our nation. Pray for our children. Pray for our schools. Pray for our churches. Pray for preachers that will stand and proclaim the blessed Word of God. So as she begins playing all over the building from the back to the front, let's gather around the altar tonight. But come and let's pray together.